It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 399. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number, 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. Facebook, send me a friend request, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. Before I give the link to the next website, it's important, make note of this link because it will become important later in the show. I will have three questions where if you answer the questions, send me an email, you can win some Mike Tech Show swag that I'll be giving away on show 400. And that important link is the wiki, and that is mtswiki.com. So remember that link when you want to go back and find any of the previous shows that I've recorded. Tonight, I have lots on deck here. I have a bunch of online tools, sites that will help you solve problems and troubleshoot issues for your client. Maybe it's your company or your home, or just great set of tools that will help you be a better technician. And certainly with problems with email, the internet, with servers that are connected to the internet, you will like these links. We've talked about them in different venues of shows. I've mentioned these different times throughout the past, but today I want to put them all together. Great place for those links. I have some great questions that I have some answers to that I've already sent the links to the listeners who wrote in some of these questions. Some great stuff. Before we do that, we want to take care of business and thank GoToMeeting for being a sponsor of the Mike Tech Show. Being able to attach a face to a name, it's so important. It enhances your relationships and how we do business with others. But unfortunately, meeting all of your clients and colleagues in person, it's impossible. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It lets you meet face-to-face from anywhere in the world. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it just takes a webcam and a click to collaborate in group HD video. You can see your attendees eye to eye while collaborating on documents in real time. You'll feel instantly connected, even though you could be 1,000 miles apart. Start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. You can try it free for 30 days. You have to go to GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button and use the promo code podcast. So go to GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free, enter the promo code podcast. So for the first site on our list, it's very simple. It's https://testexchangeconnectivity.com. It's a long word. Save this. If you are testing anything relating to an exchange server, this is invaluable. If you want to test your ActiveSync connection, how about your Exchange Web Service connectivity tests? How about Microsoft Office Outlook connectivity tests? If you want to test RPC over HTTP, you just start and enter your information so you could say, okay, click the next button for testing. You put your email address, or you can manually specify the server. You have to give it a login name. So I recommend creating a test account for these purposes and keep a nice, easy password to type. And then you can always reset it later. You got to enter the credentials. Then you can say, hey, do you want to synchronize all items in the inbox folder and ignore a trust for SSL? They have a CAPTCHA verification that I just hate. Anytime I'm using this, it's so hard sometimes to figure out the letters because they want it so they can't be spammed and they can't have people doing things, but it's just what a pain CAPTCHA is. I mean, I understand its purpose, but it just, I'm one of those people that have trouble reading the graphics and have to try it again. You enter the verification and then you click perform test and you will get detailed results that will help you diagnose the problems. A great example was a couple weeks ago when I was talking about when Winston Wolf was helping me with a client and we were working on their connectivity, the remote connectivity to ActiveSync. As soon as adjustments were made, I would go back to the remote connectivity analyzer and keep trying and trying until it got through. And I remember how happy I was when it connected and everything was fine. And it was just great when we were able to get successful tests all the way through. This is how you can know whether you got all your settings correctly. Great site. Save this if you do this kind of work. The next one I've talked about all the time. And it's so important to be able to check your DNS records and your MX records. So let's look at Microsoft.com, and the site is mxtoolbox.com. If we type Microsoft.com, we can see what the host name is and the IP address for mail going to Microsoft.com. If you have a client or maybe it's your own domain and you want to see what the MX record is, this is the place where you go. If you also want to do an SMTP test, you can click it and it will test and say whether SMTP is working on that server. And if it can't, then you know maybe you got to make a firewall adjustment. Maybe there's a problem with the server is not set right. This is a great place to test mail and its connectivity. You also can do a blacklist lookup. Now, what this does is it will report all the places where someone's domain can be blacklisted for email. And maybe they were hit with a virus and they were sending out spam. One that you got to really watch out for is the Barracuda. That's a very popular anti-spam device that companies use. And if you're on that list, it'll tell you. And then once you click on the reason you're on that list, you now get details on how to remedy to get off the blacklist. You always want to check if someone's having an email problem where they complain that they're sending out email and it's not getting to its destination. This is a place where they could be blacklisted. I use this all the time. Another site, iptools.com. This, you can ping, get domain info. You can IP the country. It shows the country of origin, trace routes, spam database lookup, another place. Do a reverse DNS lookup. There are IP routing lookup. How about who is lookup? There are so many options here that it's a great one-stop shopping for any IP-based tools for anything you're going to be doing. I can't think of a better site to go to do a who is, to find out who really owns this domain, who's the technical contact, what's the technical contact email, because maybe you want to make a domain change. This is the place to go, pump in the domain name, and check everything out. A month or so ago, Kate, regular listener in the chat, she's a consultant in Canada, shared this site with us, which is Support Details. What a great little site where maybe you're working remotely and you want to find out what is their operating system. They don't know. What is their screen resolution? What is their IP address? What is their web browser? What version of Flash? What version of Java? Are cookies enabled? This is a great site where you then have the ability for the person to enter their name, enter your email, their email, and they can click a button to send the results of what this screen shows. It's a one-stop shop for quickly, if someone's on the internet, you're talking to them on the phone, and you need that information. How many times have you asked, what operating system do you have? They don't know. And you can't expect them to know. Some clients, they're on top of that. They know that information. But your typical user does not know these things. So now you can easily tell them, hey, go to this site. Go to Support Details. Type in your name, the email addresses, and now click send. And then you can get it right away, and you have that info. They are my collection of sites that I wanted to share that if you are in the business or you know what, bookmark them as maybe internet tools or IP tools or online tools and save them and bookmark them. Even better than that, bookmark them on your portable browser that's on your USB stick. So now you can have an online tools section started. Start it off with these sites. You never know when you might need them. And add them to that group of tools. You should be organizing your bookmarks, and especially on the portable version of Firefox that you should be carrying on your USB stick, there should be IP tools or online tools, and in there, these are your first sites that you could have listed. Always have your research tools bookmarked and saved and easy to get to. So when you are on site, you're at a place where maybe their browser is all messed up, but they have internet access. That's when you pop in your USB stick, run your portable browser, and now you have access to all these sites and any troubleshooting sites. I know I've done shows on how to troubleshoot the blue screen of death and online sites where you can capture and paste information into it. Or how about Hijack This and the analyzer sites that you should be saving? There are lots of places where you should have groups of bookmarks of all of these cool sites. Maybe purchasing. This is where you put Mike Tech Show's Amazon link when you got to make a purchase or you're sharing that with someone. Have my amazon.mikenation.net as a link in your bookmarks. Maybe a link to Newegg, a link to Monoprice, and a link to our favorite places for shopping. You should build out your links, and maybe I'll do a future show sharing you with the ones that I can share with you, links and the HTML bookmark links that you'd be able to import into your bookmarks. I think if you have some great ideas of some of these online repair sites or online sites that can help you that you think would be a great addition to this group that I've started here, email me that so I will add them to the links and I will share them with everybody else. Share with me the online tools that you haven't heard me talk about that you use and you think that are really good. This week, I noticed in Firefox, which has been giving me fits, and I've had lots of problems, more lockups in Ustream. You know, they keep throwing out new versions. Well, I have the favorites toolbar that I like all of my favorite links. So when I go to Amazon or GoDaddy or TechVets and all the different WordPress sites, I have all those links saved. And when you save them, you get the little fave icon, that little picture of the website. So you can really just see the picture and it should instantly give you, you know, what site you're going to. Well, they all disappeared. Just one day I looked at my Firefox and all the little fave icons are gone. And I would go to the site and they wouldn't fix themselves. They wouldn't come back. So how do you fix this? And if it's happened to me, it's had to happen to some of you. So I did a little research and you have to go to your profile directory. You have to close Firefox. You have to go to your profile directory, and that's not easy to find. But once you locate it, in that directory, there is a file, and it is called places.sqlite. So places.sqlite. Rename that. There's some tips they say delete it. I never delete a file. We rename it to .old. So this way it's there in case you ever have to put it back. Once you delete that, Firefox will recreate that file when you load it again. So I loaded Firefox, and again, my bar did not have the icons. Well, now when I go and click each site, the icon refreshes. So something got corrupt in that file. I don't know what. But as we move further and further through these massive version releases that keep coming out with Firefox, I don't know. Sometimes I have problems, sometimes I don't, but I keep upgrading thinking, well, they're making it better, right? They're fixing things, so I keep moving forward and I keep getting sucked into the Firefox black hole of updates, and I don't know, are things getting worse? Because I'm noticing the further I've embraced Firefox, the more instability I get with my live shows with Ustream, the more lockups I get, the more problems I have, and I used to think it's the mixer. I think it's Firefox that's at the root cause of this. But now you're going to say, well, Mike, why don't you try Chrome? Chrome and Ustream, although they recommend Chrome, I cannot get online with Chrome or Internet Explorer anymore on Ustream. Mine just refused to work with Ustream anymore. So it's not like I got these browser options to go to. I really got to figure out what's going on with IE, what's going on with Chrome. Because when I try to broadcast using Chrome, it crashes. I need to figure out what's going on. And I may have to like completely remove Chrome, install the latest, greatest version, and then see what happens and then try to get back onto Ustream. I think things will get better. I don't know. Now, someone joking, redo my machine. You know, that's not a bad question. I've been at Windows 7 here for an awfully long time, and it probably wouldn't hurt redoing my machine. The junk and the clutter and the mess of programs and things that have cluttered up this system over the past few years, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, doing a fresh Windows 7 Ultimate update probably isn't a bad idea. Let's see what happens. Let's hope it doesn't get to that point, because that's a lot of time involved in doing it from scratch and then reloading all the software. What a pain. I have all my data backed up, so that's not a problem. So anyway, I wanted to share that fix. Before I get into the emails, let's go over the contest rules. To enter the contest for show 400, which is next week, I'm asking three questions that I need you to answer all three correctly. Send me an email, include your shipping address, your name and shipping address, and you will get a Mike Tech Show t-shirt, hat, you know, you'll get something. Here's the three questions. What is my favorite group? If you've listened to the Mike Tech Show, that's an easy answer. You know who my favorite group is. At the end of the show, I always play music, and tonight I don't have anything, so some shows, you know, I don't have any music. But if we were to go back all 7 years, what female artist have I played the most in the Mike Tech Show? Very easy question. And then the third question, what is the date of show 100? So what is the date of show 100? My favorite group that I like, the female artist that I've played the most at the end of shows, and the date of show 100. So you got to do a little work for that. Put that in an email, send it to me. I'll do a drawing depending on how many come in. If there's not a whole lot of entries, then you might all win. Send it in. It's worth taking the time to do that. And then I'll pick a winner, or maybe a couple winners for show 400. I got some special audio planned and some other things. We should have a good time next week. Now, the week after, I'm taking that week off. So there's not going to be a show the week after 400. Then we're going to come back nice and refreshed and hit the ground running for show 401. On the 29th of March, there will be no Mike Tech show that whole week. And then the following week in April, we will start out strong, start marching our way to show 500. And I've already started thinking about what that would be. So it takes 2 years for this, for each 100 shows. And that will definitely be a live event where I'm inviting people to. So, you know, everybody, it'll be open to. So that will be a lot of fun. Let's hope we're all here and I'm here and making it to show 500. First email. This is from Ron. And he sent me this email a few weeks ago. So I'm finally getting to it. I just finished watching Byer Brown's demo about setting up. And he's talking about setting up Google apps. And I've linked Byer's great, great, great video on how to do that. And he says, it looks simple enough to follow. I already have email accounts set up with GoDaddy from when I first set up my domains a few years back. They're all set up as to be forwarded to a Gmail account. I plan one switching them all over to Google Apps like you suggested today. And this was at a talk at the Philadelphia Area Computer Society about email. My question is this: when do I delete or remove them from GoDaddy? Well, you will always have access to your GoDaddy email, even if you make the switch. Because remember, when you make the switch, that will be the MX records. So new messages will go to Google Apps. Your existing mail, just download them, just move them. What I would do is open up Outlook or Thunderbird and set it for POP and let it download all the mail from GoDaddy. And I would do that probably now, get that all done, then make your switch with the MX records. Very good question. And now he has part two. I have 11 domains that I have registered and hosted with GoDaddy. I only like to pay for hosting 1 year in advance. I do want to use a different hosting company. That's like me. I can't go back to 1&1 because when I used them and there was a virus on my websites that did not go away, and they said that they scanned it and wouldn't let me talk to a supervisor. When I said they wouldn't, I mean they were rude and nasty on the phone with me. When I called back and complained about that and told them I was leaving them as a hosting company and they did nothing to try to keep me. I pay $6.99 per month right now with GoDaddy. HostGator will charge me $7.96 a month. Is it better to just stay with GoDaddy for my hosting since this is the devil that I know? Or are there any other hosting companies that would be cheaper? See, I don't know if you want to go cheaper, okay? You want to go more reliable. The search that I do when I find some hosting companies are that the prices are low if you only have a few domains. Here's what you got to ask yourself. You could be lucky with GoDaddy and your domains are hosted on servers that are truly that 4GH special hosting that they say, Matrix web backend, which I question whether that truly exists or not. If you're not having problems and your site's up all the time, stay. See, I'm a GoDaddy hater and I'm saying stay because just like me, I may have had those problems, but you know what? Since I vented all those problems and I yelled and screamed and, you know, everything's been better. Now, I don't know if that's a coincidence or not. I don't know. But if you're running good, stay. Don't move for the sake of moving. It's not worth it. Right now, knock wood, things have been running well with my domain, so I'm kind of leaving them there. I think if I go through another big outage, that will be the straw that breaks the camel's back with me. You're right. I do the same thing. I only do a year at a time with hosting, so this way I don't have a long-term commitment. Even though you could save money, I'm not committing to any hosting company. There is no hosting company in the world that could get a dime more out of me to extend more than a year for hosting. It will never happen. I won't let clients do it. I won't do it because things change too fast in this industry. One day you got, you know, XYZ company and they're great. And then maybe they grew too fast or they're doing something at the back end. I just can't deal with it. So I will only go 1 year at a time. I want to be able to get out quick if I had to. And if they don't refund my money, then I know I didn't lose a lot. Some lessons there. And as they're saying in the chat, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So exactly. If it's running well, I don't mess with it. I make sure there will be no self-inflicted wounds, okay? If things are running good, let it go. Say thank you and move on. Here's part three. I know that you say that you are not a web designer. You may know where I can get the info for this. Creating a subdomain is not a problem. That part I can do. What I have had a problem with is when I would type in the address of a main site, example, I'm going to say it, irvhomer.com, it would go to the subdomain store.irvhomer.com. I don't understand the question. It's almost like you're setting up the subdomain, but it doesn't seem to be working. A great example of a subdomain is what I'm doing with my Amazon link, amazon.mikenation.net. The reason that works is because mikenation.net is the true domain. I tried to do amazon.miketechshow.com. I could not because miketechshow.com is forwarding to mikenation.net. So I had my son Ryan build me an index.html page. I made a subdirectory off of MikeNation.net called Amazon, put in there the code that redirects you to the Amazon site with my link. So we created MikeTechShow.com/Amazon. And I had to do that. I could not create a subdomain because there's no true hosting behind it. Does that, I don't know if that answers your question or not, and maybe that's why you can't do what you want to do with your subdomains. I couldn't. Only the core domain can you really do the subdomain and then put, hey, where do you want it to go? And I was able to put my code in. But I learned that the hard way when I was working with trying to get my Amazon codes all set up. And I think that explains and might shed some light on what you're trying to do and maybe give you a different way of looking at it. Jerry, who's a great contributor to the Mike Tech Show with lots of cool links, and I really appreciate it. Keep them coming. He has a link to the ultimate collection of uninstallers, removal tools for all popular antivirus software. So thank you, Jerry, and I will put that in the show notes. I have a link here from Jason. This is a program that he links from Didier Stevens, who is a programmer and listener of the Mike Tech Show. And it's a task manager. It's a free Excel spreadsheet that helps you terminate, suspend, or resume selected processes. How cool is this? A spreadsheet that you open up and you'll be able to get and list all of the processes running, and they list out in Excel. Thanks for the great podcast. I learn something new every week from you and your listeners. I ran across this great free spreadsheet that would be useful for your listeners to know about. It can be run in a restricted environment. You could not use Task Manager or Process Explorer, and it will also come in handy when fixing an infected machine where the malware prevents one from launching Task Manager, or Process Explorer. TaskManager.xls is a simple task manager implemented in Excel and VBA. It can list the running processes and terminate, suspend, or resume selected processes. It supports 64-bit and 32-bit. Jason, thank you, thank you, thank you. And Jason, of course, maintains fantasticfreeware.com. Great link. I've already played with this spreadsheet. Awesome program. You got to download it. This is from Chris. I'm sure you know about the latest update of Audacity to version 2. No. So thank you for letting me know. These things just get right by me. But I'm not sure your listeners, me included, I know, would be interested in a review of this software at some point. I promise I will get to the point of running this, and I want to move to that this weekend just in case, you know, they've added some new features that I'm going to like. And you know the way I use Audacity, and I love it. I can't wait to try this new version. And Chris, I know you assumed that I was on top of it. I did not know the new version existed until I read your email. So thank you. Never assume that I know something. Assume the opposite and then let me know. So thank you, and I'll be playing with that Audacity 2.0. This is from Mickey. I would like to start off by saying I love your show. I listen whenever I can. I own a computer company in Wisconsin and do a lot of consulting and repair work along with my retail store. Yesterday, I was listening to one of your podcasts in my car, which you were talking about backup data connections. The funny thing is that while I was listening, my wife called me telling me that our internet was down and had been for about 2 hours. Obviously, this was a major problem for me, not only for needing the connection for browsing, etc., but I need a constant internet connection for my PBX box, PBX in a flash. So while I was scrambling to get my phone numbers forwarded to our cell phones so customers could call us, fortunately, I had a retainer client's 3G data card at my office, so I quickly got up and running, with their permission, of course. Is there a way I can use a 3G data card, USB or otherwise, as an automatic fail-safe connection? I want to automatically connect in the event our cable internet goes down. I have a server running Windows Server 2008. Can I set up the server to do that? Or is there a router that you know of that will do what I'm looking for? Thank you, Mickey. Great question. And I did some research and came up with the following links that I'm going to have in the show notes. And I emailed Mickey back these links. The Zyxel, Z-Y-X-E-L, has a unified security gateway. They have a great device, which is the USG50. And it is a multi-layer threat. It will do multi-layer threat protection. And so it's a great firewall, but it has multiple WAN links and supports 3G cellular connection. This is priced at Amazon under $300. So a great inexpensive, what I think inexpensive for a business, small business solution to have multiple WAN connections where you have the choice. You can use the two connections simultaneously to kind of help build your bandwidth or have them as one and then a failover. So that's one. Now, after doing the research in a lot of different forums where they mentioned a lot of Linksys devices that claim to do this, but be careful. They're inexpensive, but a lot of people complain that they don't fail over properly and they don't work well. So there's lots of negative reviews on many, many devices out there. This one seemed to have the most positive reviews. Now, Money No Object, there is a great place that people liked called PepLink Balance. These are multi-WAN routers with some scary prices. So that's why I said Money No Object when you start taking a look at some of these prices when they're in the thousands of dollars. But if you have a big organization that can handle that, that where it makes sense to put that in, you know, where, you know, it's cost effective, then by all means, please do it. But for a small business, I think I hit it perfect with this Zyxel. I think it's pronounced. Give them a look if you're interested in that. And I will, again, I will have both these links in the chat. I will also have the Zyzel product as my Amazon link. If you want to purchase it, you can use my Amazon link and I will get a commission. The price stays the same for you, but you really help support the show if you use my Amazon link. And I want to thank everybody for just so much for your continued support and using my Amazon link. I really appreciate it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's it for tonight's show. And I will be back next week, same time, same channel for show 400. Got a couple special things that I'll be playing in the show. And I will pick a winner. So if you didn't hear or need to replay, you know, rewind and listen to the three questions you need to answer, send me an email to miketechshow@gmail.com. Answer the questions correctly, and you will have a chance of winning some Mike Tech Show swag. I'll be giving some things away next week. That's it, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.